We all want to know what's really going on, right? To make sense of the constant flood of information and get a grasp on the bigger picture without feeling completely overwhelmed. And that's exactly why we're here. Today, we're diving deep into some pretty intense stuff. The Truth Seekers Weekly Briefing, March 3rd, 2025, to be precise. We're going to pull out the key threads and see if we can't gain a clear understanding of the significant shifts happening globally.
What's striking about this briefing is the sheer scope. We're not just talking about one specific area, you know, this thing touches on geopolitics, economics, health, technology, even some intriguing historical and spiritual interpretations. They're painting on a pretty broad canvas.
Absolutely. And the underlying mission here, the thread that seems to connect it all, is this idea of connecting the dots. It can feel like we're bombarded with these fragmented bits of information, often contradictory. And this briefing aims to weave together these seemingly disparate events. It's encouraging us to think rationally, to stay grounded, but also to recognize the role of our own emotional intelligence as we navigate these complex times.
Which is crucial, wouldn't you say? When you're facing a deluge of information, and let's be honest, some of it is intentionally misleading, the ability to critically assess, to synthesize and make sense of it all, well, that becomes your most valuable tool.
For sure. Okay, let's jump into some of the highlights from this briefing. They featured five reports that have been generating a lot of buzz. First up, we've got something related to this entity called DOGE. Apparently, it stands for Department of Government Efficiency.
Ah, yes, DOGE.
This report allegedly details some pretty serious government corruption and spending. And the figure that's really raising eyebrows is the reported $9.5 billion spent by California on health care for illegal aliens. $9.5 billion, that's a number that really makes you pause and think about how resources are being allocated, right?
It certainly does. A figure of that magnitude, if it proves to be accurate, naturally raises some significant questions about budgetary priorities, oversight, you know, the whole nine yards. It could even fuel broader discussions about immigration policies and the economic implications, wouldn't you say? What's interesting here, though, isn't just the number itself, but what this source claims it reveals about potential inefficiencies, maybe even corruption within the system.
Absolutely. And following on from that, the briefing brings up some pretty serious allegations about mainstream media outlets. It claims that organizations like the Associated Press, the New York Times, and Politico have been involved in government funding and censorship deals through USI.
No.
The potential consequence they highlight is a further erosion of public trust in these institutions. And I mean, let's face it, trust in media is already pretty shaky.
That's true. The relationship between government and the media is always a delicate dance, wouldn't you say? Allegations of this nature, whether they're ultimately proven or not, they tap into those existing anxieties people have about media bias and the potential for state influence over what we read and see. If such deals were actually taking place, it could really alter the public's perception of these news sources, make people question their independence, their objectivity. And that could potentially drive more people towards alternative media, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think that's a definite possibility. Okay, moving on to the third featured report. This one discusses a rather dramatic event, a mass sell-off of residential homes in Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia. And the numbers they're citing are pretty stark. A 38% drop in prices within the first week. 38%. The briefing suggests that this could be the beginning of a nationwide real estate crash, potentially linked to the defunding of, you guessed it, USAID. That's a pretty direct cause and effect relationship they're suggesting there.
It is. Now, a sharp decline in real estate prices, especially in a concentrated area like D.C. and Northern Virginia, could definitely signal a significant shift. Could be the local economy, could be a change in the desirability of the region, who knows? But to directly attribute it solely to the defunding of one specific government agency, well, that would require a much deeper analysis. You'd need to look at interest rates, employment trends, overall market sentiment, a whole host of factors.
Definitely. Now, next, the briefing touches on some potentially major shifts within the U.S. government itself. It mentions Senate confirmation hearings for a few notable individuals under President Trump's second term. They specifically mention RFK Jr. for Secretary of HHS, Tulsi Gabbard for Director of National Intelligence, and Kash Patel for FBI Director. Now, the implication here is that these confirmations are likely and could lead to some substantial changes within these key agencies.
Yes. And those are some big names, to be sure, each with their own very distinct public profile, their own stated policy positions. If they were appointed to those roles, well, it would undoubtedly signal a change in direction for those agencies. Healthcare policy, intelligence gathering, law enforcement priorities, all of that would be impacted. And I think it's safe to say the confirmation process itself would be quite lively.
Yeah, I think lively is putting it mildly.
Yeah.
Okay, and finally, in their featured reports, the briefing highlights growing concerns surrounding injuries potentially linked to certain, let's say, medical interventions, along with new scandals within what they're calling the big medical industry complex. They mention increases in neurological disorders, myocarditis, immune system failures. They even talk about leaked documents and whistleblower testimonies suggesting that some potential risks were known but not fully disclosed. This is obviously a topic that's generating a lot of debate and concern, to say the least.
Absolutely. Any reports of adverse health events following medical interventions, those are things that public health agencies have to take very seriously. Allegations of concealed information or a lack of transparency within the medical industry, well, that can really erode public trust. It's crucial to look at these claims with a critical eye, though. You have to examine the evidence, consider the perspectives of all stakeholders. It's not a simple issue.
Not at all. Okay, so that gives us a good snapshot of the main featured reports in this Truth Seekers weekly briefing. But they don't stop there. They also delve into what they call the top five alternative news stories and events for the week of March 3rd, 2025. And this is where things get really interesting. This is where the briefing moves into narratives that are decidedly outside the mainstream, often involving claims that require a significant degree of, well, let's just say open-mindedness.
Right. This section of the briefing often explores topics that haven't been, let's say, vetted by traditional journalistic standards. They tend to rely on anecdotal evidence, speculation, or interpretations of events that differ significantly from the official accounts.
Exactly. So the first alternative story revolves around testimony from a Jake Barber regarding alleged ET contact. And get this, he talks about something called psionic communication, basically mental interaction like telepathy. He claims he was involved in the retrieval of an egg-shaped extraterrestrial craft and that he used psionics to communicate with extraterrestrials, even to the point of summoning their craft. I mean, wow, that's a pretty wild claim.
It certainly is. Claims of contact with extraterrestrial life and the use of abilities like psionics, well, those are definitely outside the realm of conventional scientific understanding, wouldn't you say? Typically, these types of claims lack empirical evidence that can be independently verified. But, you know, they do tap into that persistent human fascination with the possibility of life beyond Earth. That and the potential for abilities beyond what we currently understand.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Okay, the next alternative story is a purported leaked report from, of all people, Edward Snowden. This report alleges a sinister depopulation agenda linked to HAARP, the High-Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. The claim is that HAARP and other military-controlled weather modification technologies are being used for climate control, seismic warfare, and even population reduction. Mm. The briefing also mentions Julian Assange's WikiLeaks revelations as providing some supporting context.
Right, HAARP. Now, that facility has been at the center of all sorts of conspiracy theories over the years, weather manipulation, clandestine activities, you name it. While it's true that weather modification technologies do exist and are used in limited ways, the idea that HAARP is part of some secret global depopulation agenda, well, that's lacking any credible scientific support. And as for WikiLeaks, they've released a huge amount of information, no doubt about it. But to definitively link any of it to this particular claim, well, you'd need to very carefully examine those documents.
I see your point. Okay, moving on. The third alternative news item details a mysterious aircraft collision in Philadelphia. It involved an American Airlines flight and, get this, a U.S. Special Services branch helicopter. Now, the briefing throws out a bunch of theories about what might have happened. Everything from an alleged assassination attempt involving a body double for President Trump to the idea that the aircraft were sabotaged using, wait for it, 5G technology. These are some pretty out there interpretations of this event.
They are. You know, unfortunately, when tragic events like aircraft collisions occur, and when those official explanations are slow to come out or seem incomplete in some way, well, it creates a vacuum. And that vacuum is often filled by speculation and alternative theories. It's human nature, I suppose. Now, the theories mentioned here, they involve some pretty high-stakes intrigue. Political machinations, advanced technologies being misused. It's a lot to unpack. But it's important to remember that until more verifiable information is available, these remain speculative interpretations.
For sure. All right, then the briefing touches on supposed investigations by Elon Musk that have allegedly uncovered massive fraud connected to funding during the Obama and Clinton administrations. The claim is that this fraud might involve black budget projects and even election rigging. It's a pretty huge accusation, if true.
It is. Elon Musk, well, he's certainly never been shy about expressing his opinions. And claims of widespread fraud within past administrations, especially when you're talking about sensitive areas like black budgets and election integrity, those are things that would absolutely grab the attention of law enforcement and the media. But of course, you need credible evidence for any of that to gain any real traction.
Absolutely. And finally, the last alternative story mentioned is a claim from a whistleblower, supposedly confirming that USAID is funding chemtrails. You know, those persistent contrails in the sky that some people believe are actually chemical sprays? This whistleblower alleges that these chemtrails contain mind-altering aerosols, things like aluminum, barium, strontium, and even classified neurological agents. Mm. The idea here is that this is a deliberate effort to manipulate human perception, to suppress consciousness. This theory has been around for a while, and it seems to have some staying power.
The chemtrail conspiracy theory, well, it's been debunked over and over again by the scientific community. Atmospheric scientists have explained that those persistent contrails are simply ice crystals. They're formed from the water vapor and jet exhaust under certain atmospheric conditions. Pretty straightforward, really. There's no credible scientific evidence to support the claim that governments are secretly spraying mind-altering substances from aircraft.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of this overview of the Truth Seekers Weekly Briefing. As you can see, it covers a pretty wild spectrum of claims and interpretations. Now, we're going to shift gears a bit and move into our listener Q&A section. This is where we delve a bit deeper into some of the questions that this kind of information raises, get some different perspectives.
This is a valuable part of the process, wouldn't you say? It allows us to explore the beliefs and concerns that are driving these narratives and to, you know, think critically about the information that's being presented.
Absolutely. So our first question comes from a listener who's asking about this concept of a second Great Awakening. They want to know, what are the biggest signs of this, according to the briefing? And how can individuals navigate this period consciously? What should people be doing? What should they be aware of?
Well, the briefing presents a very specific set of events and interpretations as evidence of this second Great Awakening. And it's quite a list. They start with the election of Donald Trump with what they claim was over 80% of the popular vote, though it's important to note that the actual popular vote percentage was lower. They also mention hundreds of executive orders that allege DOGE raid on the U.S. Treasury back in January, a global economy supposedly on the brink of collapse and heading for restructuring, increased discussion of first contact with extraterrestrials in the mainstream, the exposure of these global human trafficking networks, rising higher consciousness energy waves, and even a projected big event, which they describe as a quantum leap in consciousness scheduled for the second quarter of 2025. It's a lot to take in, to be sure.
It is. So according to the briefing, how should someone navigate this awakening? What do they suggest people actually do?
Well, they put a lot of emphasis on embracing the role of a truth seeker. It's about actively seeking out information, becoming educated on these alleged transformations, and recognizing what they describe as the societal programming that's keeping a lot of people stuck in what they call a Groundhog Day reality. Unaware of what's supposedly unfolding, they stress the importance of critical thinking, discernment, and questioning everything. They also advocate for letting go of fear, embracing personal sovereignty, and aligning with what they call higher consciousness. The big idea here is that these signs are all around us, and it's our responsibility to recognize them and awaken to this new reality. That's their perspective anyway.
Okay, so our next listener question tackles a pretty relevant issue. How can we differentiate between real climate events and those that might be engineered, what some people call weaponized weather? This is something that generates a lot of discussion and debate.
It does. And the briefing addresses this by referencing documentation from alternative media sources. Things like the Great Awakening Report, which they claim has evidence of directed energy weapons, often shortened to DWs, and weather manipulation technologies. Of course, they bring up HERP again, along with other classified programs.
And what specific examples or evidence do they give to support the idea of weaponized weather? Do they name any specific events?
They do. They use the example of the LA Fires Part 2, implying a second series of major fires in Los Angeles. They suggest that there were anomalous burn patterns that point to an engineered disaster. They contrast typical wildfire temperatures, which they say are between 1,200 and 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit, with supposed evidence of melted glass, which melts at around 2,600 degrees, and liquefied metals, which can require temperatures of 2,800 to 3,000 degrees or higher. They also point out instances where trees remain standing or seem to burn from the inside out, which they attribute to microwave weaponry. and they mention the selective destruction of specific structures as potentially indicative of directed energy use. It's a pretty stark image they're painting.
It is. So, according to the briefing, what are some of the key indicators that we should be looking for to differentiate between natural and engineered events?
Well, they suggest looking for patterns that seem unnatural. Unusually high temperatures and fires, that selective destruction where some structures are completely destroyed while others nearby are left untouched, sudden changes in atmospheric conditions that don't line up with weather forecasts, a lack of open discussion or investigation by the government and mainstream media regarding these anomalies. They even mention looking for eyewitness accounts that contradict the official explanations and satellite imagery that shows unusual energy discharges before these weather events. They really emphasize the importance of staying informed through a variety of sources, being observant of unusual phenomena, and applying critical thinking to the information you come across.
Makes sense. Our third question delves into the realm of personal well-being amidst all the global instability. A listener wants to know, what are the key steps to raising and maintaining what they call a 5D vibrational frequency amidst all the chaos? This is an idea that seems to be gaining some traction in certain circles.
It is. And the briefing starts by referencing that famous Nikola Tesla quote about energy, frequency, and vibration. Then they draw this equivalence. Energy is likened to thought or intention, frequency to the spoken word or manifestation, and vibration to emotions, which they say shape our experiences. Then they outline 5 key steps to raise and maintain this 5D frequency.
Okay, let's break those down. What are those 5 steps?
All right, so step 1 is forgiveness, both of others and of yourself. They present this as foundational, essential for avoiding lower vibrational states like resentment and anger. Step 2 is releasing anything that no longer serves you, whether that's emotional baggage, past traumas, limiting beliefs. They even mention specific processes like the practice and the work as tools for this. Step 3 involves gaining a deeper understanding of the subconscious mind and actively working to clear out those past experiences that might be holding you back. Step 4 emphasizes that this continuous shadow work, this emotional clearing, it's not a one-time fix. It's an ongoing process, something you have to keep working on throughout your life. And finally, step 5 is cultivating a mental atmosphere that's at least 50% positive, focusing on thoughts that are aligned with love, gratitude, and joy.
So it's a lot of inner work, a lot of focus on your own thoughts and emotions. Do they offer any practical ways to actively maintain this higher vibrational frequency in everyday life?
They do. They suggest things like daily meditation and transformational breathing exercises, practicing mindfulness and discernment in your interactions, which basically means observing without immediately reacting, living from a heart-centered place rather than being driven by ego, limiting your exposure to media and narratives that are based in fear, surrounding yourself with people and environments that have a positive, uplifting energy, and engaging in service to others and what they call conscious creation, which they link to this sense of unity and interconnectedness. The takeaway here is that achieving this 5D consciousness isn't about escaping the world or ignoring the challenges. It's about transcending those lower emotional and mental states while remaining grounded and engaged in life.
Okay, the next question is a big one. Is full disclosure on suppressed technologies and extraterrestrial contact inevitable? Or will these profound secrets continue to be controlled and kept from the public? It's a question that a lot of people are asking.
Absolutely. And the briefing frames this as an ongoing battle between those who advocate for full disclosure and what they call a breakaway civilization. This is supposedly a secretive group that controls advanced knowledge related to extraterrestrial life, zero-point energy, advanced medical technologies, and a revised understanding of human history. They suggest that these hidden truths are being held within places like the Vatican Library, in black budget projects, and within secret space programs. And they propose that our true origins extend much further back than mainstream history suggests, potentially involving interstellar civilizations, genetic engineering, and lost advanced societies. It's a pretty mind-blowing concept.
It is. So what forces are driving this inevitable disclosure, according to the briefing? Why is it happening now?
Well, they point to these increasing waves of what they describe as high-frequency conscious energy impacting Earth since we entered a plasma-Oort cloud back in the 1950s. They suggest that this is culminating at the end of major cosmic cycles, specifically mentioning the 26,000-year precession cycle, which they say ends around July 7th, 2025. They also mention a potential first contact event scheduled for sometime in mid-2025, suggesting that within insider circles, this has gone from a ridiculed idea to a widely discussed reality. And while they acknowledge that there are powerful globalist forces that will likely try to control the narrative around these disclosures, the briefing asserts that the momentum of this awakening consciousness is making complete suppression impossible.
So it's not a question of if these revelations will happen, but how prepared we are to process them, to really grasp what they mean.
Exactly. It's about readiness for a potentially massive shift in our understanding of reality.
Our final listener question is one that I think a lot of people will relate to. How can we recognize if we are truly stepping out of what's often called the matrix? And what are the biggest traps to avoid on this journey of awakening?
It's a good question, and a tricky one. The briefing suggests that the simplest and most fundamental sign of stepping out of the matrix is being able to see through the illusions presented by mainstream media, geopolitical propaganda, what they consider to be corrupt institutions, and religious control systems. It's about recognizing what they call media mind control and starting to question those dominant narratives.
So it's about shifting from being a passive recipient of information to someone who actively seeks out knowledge and analyzes it.
Precisely. It's about reclaiming your personal sovereignty, asking deeper questions, seeking out uncensored knowledge from a variety of sources, and engaging in critical analysis instead of just blindly accepting what you're told. They also outline some of the biggest traps you can fall into on this path.
And what are those traps?
Well, they say one major trap is the risk of falling back into the matrix. That can happen because of fear, discouragement, or just exhaustion from facing the sheer scale of the deception. They emphasize the importance of developing inner discipline, maintaining your inner strength, and finding support within communities of like-minded individuals. They also point out that we're living in what some describe as the end of times, the conclusion of these major cosmic cycles, which will involve the unfolding of significant big events. And that's likely to lead to more instability and uncertainty in the world. But the ultimate trap, according to the briefing, is fear itself. They see it as a low vibrational state that keeps people locked within the matrix's control.
So the path of a truth seeker, as they call it, isn't easy. It's about reclaiming your power, expanding your awareness, and recognizing your ability to co-create your reality, making conscious choices each day to see, to question, and to awaken.
Exactly. It's an ongoing process, a commitment to seeking understanding and truth.
Well, that brings us to the end of this deep dive into the Truth Seekers Weekly Briefing. We've covered a lot of ground today, from potential institutional failings and media manipulation to economic uncertainty, political shifts, claims of extraterrestrial disclosure, concerns about weaponized weather, the importance of personal vibrational frequency, and this whole concept of a global awakening. It's been quite a journey.
It has. As you process all this information, ask yourself, are you being driven by fear or are you anchored in a sense of peace? Are you getting lost in the chaos of the world or are you able to maintain that center within yourself?
Take a moment to reflect. Are your thoughts controlling you or are you consciously observing them? Would you say your mental and emotional state leans towards the positive? Can you feel what this briefing calls your higher vibrational frequency? And in your daily life, are you responding to situations with intention, or are you mainly reacting to whatever comes your way?
This is the key takeaway, I think. This journey of seeking truth and expanding consciousness, it's not a passive thing. It's a constant series of choices we make every single moment.
So stay aware. Cultivate your own sense of sovereignty and keep striving to align yourself with what feels true for you. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We'll be back with more explorations to help you connect the dots.